Christine, way too much.
No, you can.
Today is June 11, 2015. This is Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on Natural Resources. We have five work sessions today, and as you can see, we do not have a quorum. So I was just calling the meeting to order to put the meeting to stand at ease. But I figured in the meantime, we'll actually call up Director Koba. We have a star in our midst. Director Koba is the star of a recent television ad. Do you want to come up and talk to us about that? We'll do invited testimony only on your stardom.
Can I just like reenact the whole thing?
I would love it. And I won't put you under oath.
And a cart and camera and we can go.
Well, come on up. Don't be shy. You're on statewide television.
Lucky to live in Oregon.
and just so everybody knows, eventually when we do have a quorum, we'll start with the Department of Energy, and then we'll get Julie out of here, and then we'll move on to the Department of Ag, and then OWEB. So go ahead.
Mr.
Representative
Gomberg,
and I would love to know about that.
Katie Koba, Director of the Oregon Department of Agriculture, how kind of you to recognize our campaign. Actually, what you're seeing on TV is a continuation of a program that we started about 3 years ago. It's funded with federal specialty crop block grant dollars that come to the state to promote specialty crops. And this was a program that was put in the Farm Bill to kind of counteract some of the criticism around the focus of the Farm Bill for program crops, which are corn, soybeans, sugar, wheat, tobacco. We don't have a lot of those crops in Oregon, so they created the Specialty Crop Block Grant Program. And this is we call it Celebrate Oregon Agriculture Campaign. And you see the little vignettes that that I'm doing right now. We're lucky to live in Oregon, where our farmers grow the world's greatest flavors and colors.
and just so everybody else knows, we didn't have quorum, so we just
so
started.
I'm just chatting.
We just did invited testimony about Director Koba's recent commercial spot. Promoting.
So. I haven't seen it,
Mr. Chairman.
Yes,
if I may, and I certainly congratulate Ms. Koba, but I just wanted to say on the record, I am shocked. I am shocked, startled, and a little befuddled, if the truth be known, that you and any member of this group would actually have time to be watching television right now.
No, I don't mean to put this on public record, but the time that I was, this was at like 5:30
in the morning.
When I was at the gym and they have this TV on, and I go to the gym to get some peace and quiet, to get away from this world, and all of a sudden Director Koba pops up on the TV, invading my personal time. So I was shocked.
I think he was irritated.
And dismayed.
And a little befuddled.
All of the
above. Anyway, and we do a bunch of different series in March, which was National Agriculture Week. We had five different producers, farmers and ranchers that were featured on KATU. So it's a great program. It's one of many things that we funded with Specialty Crop Block Grant.
Thank you for
letting me irritate you at 5:30 in the morning.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, it's great. All right. Now that we have a quorum, we'll go ahead. And as we said, we're going to start off with the Department of Energy, then move to Department of Agriculture, and then OWEB. So we'll go ahead and open up a work session on Senate Bill 5510. Turn it over to Ms. Naburka.
Thank you, Co-Chair Rayfield, members of the committee. Senate Bill 5510 is the budget bill for the Oregon Department of Energy. This is a fee-supported agency with a LFO recommended budget of $181.5 million for the upcoming biennium. By far and away, the largest part of that is the small-scale energy loan program, which you can see is in the non-limited other funds for $140 million. There are several other LFO recommendations that I'll highlight, and then we can kind of walk through the work session materials and go over the different programs in the department. We're recommending expenditure reduction packages totaling $4.36 million with 8 associated positions. This expenditure reduction package reflects several things. It reflects the final end of the Business Energy Tax Credit Program, closing an unneeded field office in Hermiston, reduced support from the Energy Supplier Assessment, and reduce demand and fee support from the energy's State Energy Efficient Design, or SEED, program. That's a fee-supported program. We're also recommending a few continuations of existing programs, $461,000 in two FTE to continue support for the governor's 10-year energy plan and its outcomes. That the two FTE are one is for the governor's energy policy advisor. That's an existing position, and a position that supports alternative fuel use in the state's transportation fleets. And that's a result of legislature, I believe, from last session. We're also recommending $172,500 in a position to continue providing fiscal support in the energy facility siting program. Those siting cases are getting more complex. They're getting some of them are contested, and the agency has needed additional staff support to make sure that those things are done thoroughly and timely. There are also a couple of technical adjustments that just reflect moving positions between divisions, and then we've reduced the lottery debt service requirement to reflect an updated lottery debt schedule and some refinancings in the current biennium. Yes?
Yes, Senator Hansel.
On the first bullet, I think I know the answer, but I just want to confirm that. The closure of an unneeded field office in Hermiston. Since Hermiston's in my district,
yes.
It's unneeded. I'm assuming that was in conjunction with the chemical demill activity on the base.
You know, I have, there's agency staff in the room who might be better able to talk to the specifics of that plan, if that's okay with
you. If it's appropriate at another time.
Let's do it now. Director Kaplan, do you want to come up?
Good morning, Chair Rayfield, members of the committee. Mike Kaplan, for the record, Director of the Oregon Department of Energy. When we received budget approval for the Hermiston office in, I believe it was the 09 session, the expectation was that it would serve as a field office not only for us, but possibly as a location for other agencies to co-locate. It was also at that time that we saw a lot of potential siting projects in that area. Those projects have slowly either not happened or completed development one way or the other, and our co-location with other agencies didn't actually happen. Regional Solutions nearby opened another office, so we saw some redundancy there. Ultimately, as we were looking for ways to make the agency more efficient, those factors sort of combined to us to indicate that having an office there wasn't the most efficient use of resources. Most of the staff, or you know, it was a staff, I believe, of six or seven, I'm not actually totally sure, we've relocated either those positions or those specific staff back to us here in Salem, or we eliminated some administrative positions that supported that office.
Follow up. What is the savings to the department for the closure of that? Do
you have that? Chair Rayfield, members of the committee, Senator Hansel, I don't have the figure offhand. I'm sorry. We could certainly get that to you.
Thank you.
So just to walk quickly through the LFO work session report, you can see on page one that this agency's budget is quite a bit smaller than it was in the current biennium. A good comparison is actually to look at the net change from the 2015-17, or the upcoming biennium's current service level. That's because when we calculate the current service level, it takes out some of the one-time only expenditures and the other things that'll spike an agency budget up and down, and it makes for a more apples-to-apples kind of comparison. So you can see that, based on that, which is the bottom line on the report, that the agency is really just about 0.2% increase from the current service level overall. The Department of Energy has five different divisions. The first one is the Energy Planning and Innovation Division. That has a new name. You may remember it from previous biennia by a different name, but it's the same group, kind of better named to reflect what it actually does. In this division, we're recommending one of the larger revenue shortfalls. packages of about $1 million. This eliminates three positions associated with programs that have kind of reduced demand. And it reduces some special payments limitation for a grant program in which all the grants have been awarded. So that's not required anymore. This division also has one part of the recommended increase I talked about earlier for the 10-year energy plan outcomes. This division is the one that would have the position supporting alternative fuels in Oregon fleets. I also made a technical adjustment here just to move some positions between divisions. That's sort of a normal agency activity throughout the biennium as reporting relationships change. The next division is the Energy Development Services Division. That is the program that notably operates the small-scale energy loan program, so it's got the largest dollar budget of any of the divisions. There's a revenue shortfall package in this division that really reflects the end of the Business Energy Tax Credit Program. This division also has a recommended fee increase for the Biomass Producer and Collector Tax Credit Program. This is a newer tax credit program, and it's requiring more resources to administer than was originally anticipated. The fees in this program currently are a flat $100 fee and 2.5% of the requested tax credit amount, and the agency is proposing that it stay that $100 flat fee and increase to just 3.8% of the tax credit requested. And that should cover the cost of the existing staff to administer that program. Kind of moving ahead to the Nuclear Safety and Emergency Response Program, that's on page 11 of your materials. That is a program that sort of monitors the Hanford site and works with them on nuclear safety and emergency response. There are no packages proposed for that division, no changes there. And finally, in the Energy Facility Siting Program, there's a little more detail here, Senator Hansel, about the closing of the Hermiston office. The total reduction there is $1.6 million, but that's not all attributable to the Hermiston site. About $1.2 million of that reflects a reduction of professional services costs that the agency had been using for consultant services that their client base would prefer that they perform in-house. So that limitation is eliminated. This has the other half of the recommended increase package for a position to work on energy facility siting that I talked about before. And finally, in administrative services, on page 16, is the last revenue shortfall, and that really reflects some of the administrative savings and restructurings that the agency has gone through in the current biennium, and it kind of makes permanent the staff reductions that they have made in that area. The last couple of recommendations, again, are for the governor's 10-year energy plan, the governor's policy advisor, and some position final position moves. So that is the recommendations for the budget for the Department of Energy.
Thank you very much. We just need a motion to move the LFO recommendation to Senate Bill 5510.
Mr. Chair, I move the LFO recommendation to Senate Bill 5510.
Representative Clem has moved the LFO recommendation to Senate Bill 5510. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection to the motion? Seeing none, the motion carries. And we'll move on to performance measures.
Thank you. So the Department of Energy proposed four new performance measures that I thought I would just walk through those quickly. Those were in response to direction they received in the current biennium to develop some key performance measures for the Energy Planning and Innovation Division, that first division that we reviewed this morning. So the four new performance measures are kind of specific to the largest policy programs that the agency does. The first one is to measure energy use in state buildings. That's a specific directive that the agency has to work to reduce energy consumption in all state buildings and thereby sort of serve as a model for commercially owned buildings throughout the state. One is to measure the carbon content of Oregon's energy mix. Two of those are for that. One is for electricity and the other is for thermal energy. And then the fourth new one is to measure the percentage of alternative fuels used in Oregon's large fleet. Again, that was a program that resulted from some legislation last session and it's a focus for the agency going forward. The department is currently developing the baseline data, so if you look on the kind of first page of the KPM report, you don't see any targets for upcoming two fiscal years, but the agency has said that they will have kind of baseline data developed so that they can begin measuring in 2016 and have some data to report in a couple of years. We're recommending that the remainder of the agency's key performance measures be approved as presented.
You just need a motion to approve the LFO recommendation on key performance measures.
Mr. Chair, I move the LFO recommendation on key performance measures. Key performance measures.
Representative Clem has moved the LFO recommendation on key performance measures. Key performance measures. Is there any discussion.
Yes. Discussion. Yeah. The four new ones. I want to make sure those were legislatively requested or required.
Yes. Did I hear that? Yeah. Okay. That was the sort of policy division of the agency did not have any measures specifically that were that it was tracking, and so.
All right. Is there any other discussion? Is there any objection to the motion? Seeing no objection, the motion carries. Move on to budget notes.
Thank you. So there is one proposed budget note, and that was proposed by Senator Hansel. The budget note reads, the Oregon Department of Energy is instructed to limit the amount assessed under the energy supplier assessment to a total of $13.1 million in the upcoming biennium, and is instructed to prepare its 17-19 agency budget request to reflect a total assessment from the ESA not to exceed $13.1 million.
Okay. Is there any discussion on the budget note? All right. Do we have a motion to approve the recommended budget note?
Mr. Chair, I move the recommended budget note.
Representative Clem moves the LFO recommended budget note. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, is there any objection? Seeing none, motion carries. Move on to the appropriation.
And finally, we have the changes to the printed appropriation bill. The Legislative Fiscal Office recommends a budget of $2,980,496 in lottery funds, $34,515,467 in other funds, $140,853,963 non-limited other funds, $3,129,106 in federal funds with 105 positions, and that is 104.5 FTE. And
we just need a motion to adopt the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 5510.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 5510.
Representative Clem moves the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 5510. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, motion carries. And we just need a final motion to move Senate Bill 5510 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 5510 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Klein moves Senate Bill 5510 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, is there any objection? Representative Parrish, any other objections? Seeing none, motion carries. And then who would like to carry this to the full? Senator Hansel will carry it to the full and the Senate floor, and then on the House side. All right. Representative Gomberg will take it to the floor. And with that, we'll go ahead and close the work session on Senate Bill 5510 and open up a work session on House Bill 5002 and on House Bill 5003. Mr. Siebert, glad you could join us today.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, House Bill 5002 is the budget bill for the Department of Agriculture. You also have recommendations for House Bill 5003, which is the fee ratification bill for the Department of Agriculture. I will be working through the work session presentation report for my recommendations. The Legislative Fiscal Office recommendations are reflected. The total agency recommendations are reflected on page 1 of 26 of the LFO work session report. starting in with the Administration and Support Services Program Unit, Package 110 on page 3. This package shifts $642,463 of other funds to general fund and the Administrative and Support Services to pay the state portion of overhead costs associated with programs supported by ballot measure 76 lottery funds. General fund was added instead of lottery funds due to constraints on ballot measure 76 lottery funds. That's the only package in the Admin and Support Services Program Area. Starting in on Food Safety Program Area, Package 210, this package increases general fund by $295,084 in the Animal Health Program to fully support the state veterinary position with general fund and to add one new permanent half-time district veterinary position, which is a 0.50 FTE. This position is needed to partially restore reductions in the program from previous biennium and to help fill the service void created by the 2012 closure of the only USDA veterinary office in Oregon. You'll see also a change in other funds of $144,884, reflecting the change from other funds for the state vet to general fund. Package 220 is a large package that adds general fund for the regulatory lab infrastructure improvements. It includes five additional positions, $420,000 for modern lab information management system. That's compliant with current federal state standards, and funding to replace testing equipment, 50% of which is 5-plus years old. This package adds $1,741,578, five positions and 4.5 FTE. Package 230, the motor fuel quality fee package. This adds revenue only from an increase in the motor fuel quality program fees. These fees have not been increased since 1997 when the program started and do not support current program operations. The fee increase would be phased in over 5 years and raises 31,000 other funds this biennium. The increased revenue assumes passage of Senate Bill 254.
Question?
Yes, sir.
Why isn't that shown on the funding line?
Mr. Chair, Senator Hansel, it's a revenue-only package, so revenues don't show up in the budget system. You just really see the expenditures. That's why there's only narrative. It's just a note for the budget report that it's a revenue-only package. And you'll see probably a few more of those as we work through some of these recommendations. So package 240 is the railroad test car replacement package. This adds $270,000 of other funds one-time expenditure limitation to replace two antiquated railroad test cars units with non-rail bound testing equipment. This again adds $270,000 of other funds limitation on a one-time basis and no positions. package 250 on page 9, the egg-laying hen confinement inspections. This adds, again, revenue only of $10,000 and $10,020 and other funds for cost recovery charges for egg-laying hen facility inspections. Package 260 is the FDA grant LD position extension. This package continues three limited duration NRS3 positions for ongoing activities related to U.S. Food and Drug Agency grant for implementation of the manufactured food regulatory program standards. The federal funds expenditure limitation positions are added on a one-time basis as the grant funding is set to expire July 31st of 2017. On page 11 is package 801. This is an LFO analyst adjustment. This adds federally funded limited duration program analyst one position to the animal health program to address avian influenza threats in the state. The position is funded by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. A shift in federal funds expenditure limitation from capital outlay where it was not needed to personal services is used to accommodate the new position with no overall increase in federal funds expenditure limitation. So this has the effect of just increasing positions and FTE count by one.
Mr. Hansel.
Can I ask a question back on package 210? And I may need the director or somebody to answer the question, but the question is we're and I'm very supportive of it, the state vet per position and then adding a halftime, new halftime permanent. I'm curious as to where they're anticipated to, their offices are anticipated to be or what area they're, they may be covering if that's been determined yet, because I think that's would be helpful and important to know.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chair, Senator Hansel, Katie Koba, Director of the Department of Agriculture. The state vet is an existing position in the agency. It's funded right now with a mixture of general fund and other fund, and this would move all of the funding for the state vet to general fund. That position is housed in Salem. The halftime new district vet, I don't think that we've really landed on where that person would exist. I think we'll have to look at some options about our ability to recruit a halftime vet, and we do have currently have a district vet located on the east side. So we're going to have to look at kind of where our workload is and where we think we need that position.
With the closure of the energy office in Hermiston, there might be space available there.
Chair Senator Hansel, we actually have a lot of staff located in Eastern Oregon. Some are in a mixture of offices and some work out of their homes. So.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Director.
Thank you. Keep her there for a second.
Okay. And Director Kobe, you may want to stay for a second.
And I could either wait till you get through. I want to go back three or four, but I could wait till you get through.
Well, why don't we just go ahead if you got a few questions?
Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't pay attention to this earlier.
Yeah, Representative Clem.
The trying to find it now. The measure 76 fund shift. I'm trying to find it. 110. So that's $642,000 that was currently measure 76 dollars used to help pay for measure 76.
Mr. Chair, Representative Clem, the agency has had measure 76 funding added to their budget over the biennia. None of those dollars right now are used to pay indirect charges to support the administrative functions of the agency. So to lessen the burden on fee payers, the department proposed to have the state pick up some of the costs of those administrative functions. Because of the constraints on Measure 76 operating side of funding, the department did not request lottery funds, which was probably wise because there really is no extra lottery funds this biennium, basically beyond current service level. So they requested general fund. So our office is recommending that the addition of general fund be added essentially in lieu of Measure 76 dollars to pay Measure 76 share of the administrative costs of the programs.
So if I might follow up on that, so Measure 76 are eligible to pay for these kind of costs. It's just they're in use other places.
Mr. Chair, Representative Clem, that's correct.
Yeah.
not most excited about that. It's, you know, general fund. There's so many things you can't use Measure 76 for that when you can, I'm fairly nervous. That makes me want to go look at every single other Measure 76 expenditure to see if it's really that constrained. Unless you've already done that for me.
Mr. Chair, Representative Clem, I've been looking it over pretty closely, and there's a little bit of extra money in the Department of Fish and Wildlife recommendations that we're working through right now of about $200,000, and that's about it. If, again, one of the issues with Measure 76 operating side, too, is it's wise to retain a little bit of ending balance to deal with compensation changes, because if you don't leave any money in the ending balance, and if you fully expend all the monies, then the department does have no resources like this one to pay for salary costs that are negotiated by the state.
Yeah, after.
Yeah.
Okay, then one other.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little more about this. The computers that can't connect anymore, passage 220, $1.7 million in general fund for the lab, regulatory lab infrastructure improvements. Can I hear a little bit more about that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Clem, we run the state's regulatory lab where we test a number of products. I would say in the last couple of years we've seen a growing demand for such tests around pesticides from our pesticide program. This is a package that would basically invest in the infrastructure of the lab, upgrade equipment that is outdated, allow us to purchase some new equipment. And a component of that is the Laboratory Information Management System, which is a computerized system wherein we submit, you know, samples come in, you can log it into the system. We have staff then that can go in at any time and see, track where those samples are. We're much more responsive to customers that way. The system we have now, I think, is 15.
I'm looking at the Orman system. Mm-hmm. It's 88.
Was purchased in 1988. It is completely outdated, and our most recent EPA audit of our regulatory lab indicated that we really needed to invest in a new laboratory information management system. So that's a piece of this. It's not the full amount in the lab package.
And the additional positions are this amount, or I know in another bill we're planning on upping positions as well with fees in that case.
Mr. Chair, Representative Clem, the positions in the lab package are laboratory personnel, so people that run tests. Mm-hmm. I think what you're referring to are positions that were part of the negotiations around the pesticide package that would provide four new investigators for the pesticides program. So that's separate than the laboratory program. These are investigators that actually go out in the field and conduct investigations. A customer service position within the pesticides program, again, to be more responsive to those that complain and result in investigations on our staff's behalf. And then an increase in the department's park position, which is currently a half-time position, and health authorities park coordinator at half-time, make both of those full. Those positions are not in this budget, and we need to have further discussions with all of you to figure out where those positions get placed.
Yeah, for some reason I thought I had in my head that there was a lab position maybe to help process it, but I might have been off on that. So these lab costs and these lab positions, the five additional or four and a half additional positions, how much of the testing is cost recovery type testing, and how much is hard to bill for?
Mr. Chair, Representative Clem, I would say, and I may have Lauren come up, that the majority of the tests that we perform on behalf of other programs in the agency are funded by those programs. So the pesticides program is just one program. It's not the majority of the work that we do in the lab. Our food safety program, we do water samples. So we have a myriad of samples that we run in our lab that support the variety of programs that we have in the agency. Those tests, the samples and the tests themselves are, for the most part, fully recovered with fees. It's this infrastructure investment that goes above and beyond really what the programs can pay for, that where we've asked for the general fund. I'll see if Lauren has anything to add.
Lauren Henderson, I'm the Assistant Director of the Department of Ag. No, I think Director Koba got it pretty well. The infrastructure costs of our lab just to be a lab are significant. We do try to pass on the actual hours work doing the test on to those programs that ask for them, i.e. pesticide program. In this case, we don't have the dollars, and I think you've alluded to it since you have a lot of experience with computers. The system is so old that the new equipment that we're trying to buy today has the capability to work directly with that computer system so that the results are taken directly from that lab equipment and put into that LIMS system without a lot of manual human intervention. The medical field has done that for quite some time, and so we're trying to get that sample tracking and all of that done to a point that it really does improve our turnaround time, which in a laboratory is key to everything. For our investigative staff, having those lab results as quick as we can turn them around and assure that accuracy is very important. And of course, when you're using technology to do that, you build that. But really, this package is about infrastructure, core costs, just to be a lab, and then the testing itself is then worked through our other funded programs and the fees that support those.
And Mr. Chair, Representative Klim, if I might, I would note that the agency had also requested an additional about $150,000 general fund in this package to shift some other funded lab positions off of fees onto general fund that we're not supporting and maintaining as fee-supported positions.
I just don't know. Is it fairly typical for infrastructure projects like this that are primarily used by other services to not build in to their fees over time a replacement factor?
Mr. Chair, Representative Klim, building and replacement costs for ongoing programs in the state government is an ongoing issue. For example, deferred maintenance is deferred because agencies find higher, more important uses of those dollars. I think it's probably standard operating procedure or best practices to build in some replacement costs. I would just also note that in the time I've been working on this agency, which has been a while, I cannot remember a package coming forward to ask for lab resources.
And I don't mean to pick on this agency. It's a larger question.
It's a bigger question.
So maybe I can help a little bit. We have actually tried over since I've been there in 99 to do exactly what you're suggesting. It just doesn't work. The fees get to a point where they can't fully support that because of the technology changes that we see. This lab equipment, some of it's $400,000 to $500,000. It's a pretty significant number. And really, this lab, it supports our regulatory functions, and because of that, the results that we do and what we get has to be, and many times, court ready. That adds a layer of overhead, so to speak, that is quite expensive. But that's our responsibility to do that. And so it really is trying to keep this lab technology current, and we haven't asked for anything for quite some time. The dollars just weren't there. And this is trying to get it to a point where it's in the 21st century and so that it can be, and to the point that we are able to do fee-for-service work in this program, which is voluntary work, non-regulatory. It's really imperative at that point that we can offer those services along with our other services and yet be price competitive and not compete too unfairly with the private sector, because we don't want to do that either. It really is about offering a suite of services. So it's a balance.
I actually think that as you're looking forward, it does make sense to actually plan for anticipated costs for, you may not know that number, but trying to anticipate or plan, you certainly could. So you may have to come back, and it would minimize the impact of the general fund. Currently, you're not in a position to do that because that wasn't done before. And so it's about kind of moving forward, I think. Representative Clem.
The other thing I just thought of is probably every agency that ever did that, we swept all their funds.
Mr. Chair, Representative
Sorry
Clem,
about that.
I was just going to mention that the department at one time had a sinking fund for replacing vehicles that this body mm-hmm. used for other purposes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe that's something mm-hmm. good idea.
Well, and if you did reappropriate those funds, you've paid into the general fund at one point, and therefore, when you came back for your
and
general fund request, now you're paying
it
back.
Thank you. So. Give me some
funds. Co-chair Rayfield, I will add the LIMS system, if we can are able to procure the one that we think we can get, or the two or three that are out there that we know that can be customized to do this, they are off the shelf. They will help us define and track our sampling costs better. The newer systems are able to do that, and you're actually able to record all of your materials, all your staff time, the analytics that go into that, the machine time, the runtime. And so we're looking forward to having a new system that we can actually use in that way to actually put out some reports so that we're actually better able to track exactly what we're doing and how much it costs.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. All right.
Mr. Chair, returning to the natural resources policy area, which begins on page 12 of 16, you see the program area totals. There are a number of packages in this program area. The first one is 070 that balances expenditures to forecasted revenues by making reductions in the nursery program. These reductions are restored in package 350, which you will see later on. Package 310 is related to agricultural water quality plans. This package would expand the agricultural water quality program by adding $804,100 of general fund to hire three new positions, as well as reclassify and fund shift an existing NRS 4 position that's supported with ballot measure 76 lottery funds to an ISS 6 supported by general fund. The original request was also added $1 million of general fund to start a grant program for local ag water quality improvement projects and technical assistance in areas identified through the department's strategic implementation initiative. Instead, the legislative fiscal office is recommending adoption of a budget note directing ODA to work with OWEB to implement a coordinated grant program funded with $1 million of lottery funds from OWEB's grant program area that's to be included by OWEB board when the board develops its 15-17 spending plan, and you'll see that budget note later on. Package 312, Oregon Invasive Species Council funding. This package adds $100,000 of general fund on a one-time basis to the Invasive Species Council for carrying out the provisions of ORS 570810 to provide funding for efforts by agencies, organizations, and individuals to eradicate or control new infestations and infections of invasive species. Package 330, this package shifts $100,000 of the Threatened and Endangered Plant Program funding from other fund grants to general fund. This state support will provide the program flexibility when addressing concerns involving threatened and endangered plants. Package 340 is a fertilizer fee increase that reflects the fertilizer program fee increases as proposed in House Bill 2443. The increased revenues would be combined with existing revenues and used for research special payments involving fertilizers and water. This research funding was requested by fee payers. The department projects that with this fee increase, they would be able to expend up to $70,000 annually on related research without adversely impacting the base fertilizer program. This adds $51,985 of other funds expenditure limitation. Package 350, falling or flat revenue required. Other funds reductions in package 070 in the nursery program. This reduction is restored through ratification of fee increases already implemented administratively during 2013-15 that are contained in House Bill 5003, which we'll be considering in a few minutes. Package 810 is LFO analyst adjustments for the natural resources policy area. This adjustment reflects a one-time fund shift of the Pesticide Analytical Response Center from general fund to other funds, from pesticide fees to make general fund available for statewide uses. The package also removes $8 of ballot measure 76 lottery funds expenditure limitation that was left from previous fund shifts of the plant conservation program.
Mr. Chair, just briefly, sorry. I think LFO staff skipped package 360.
Oh, you're right. Thank you. Page 19, package 360, the civil penalty authority. The legislation is proposed to increase pesticide civil penalties under ROS 634925, which are retained by the Department for Information and Education-related expenditures. It adds $20,000 of other funds limitation to account for the increased revenues from the civil penalties.
And then, Mr. Chair, if I might speak to one of the packages, if
you don't mind.
Package 310, which is the investments, the expanding investments in the department's ag water quality program. As LFO staff indicated, we had asked for the three positions and then $1 million in general fund to do targeted work. It's been a long time since you heard the overview of our agency, but in our ag water quality program, we have kind of gone to the next level in terms of implementing what we're calling strategic implementation areas, which are really targeted, focused work around water quality. And the intention behind the $1 million in general fund was to incentivize work in the strategic implementation areas. And if we're partnering with soil and water conservation districts or watershed councils that maybe don't have the capacity to handle the ramped up work, to allow us to provide some additional resources in that area. As LFO staff is recommending that instead of the $1 million in general fund, that we work with OWEB and using some of the existing OWEB resources to fund that work. My colleague from OWEB is here, the director. This is a bit problematic for us in that I think the OWEB, the interest in OWEB grant funding does exceed the resources that they have available. And I am concerned that shifting this $1 million in resources to OWEB's resources in terms of a mandatory kind of proposition could be problematic. And I'd certainly entertain a discussion around whether that's something that we could just be encouraged to work with OWEB if there are resources available, as opposed to requiring a minimum amount that they set aside within their limited resources.
Yes, Senator Hansel.
I appreciate that, and I would certainly be supportive of that. I know as a former chair of the State Noxious Weed Board, all that funding comes from these OWEB funds. And I think if we mandate this, there will be other programs that will be very significantly curtailed, and commitments that we've made before aren't going to be able to be fulfilled. And I would support language of rather than requiring and encourage it, if that's possible, Mr. Chair.
And we considered a lot of the different ways to go about this. Unfortunately, because of the limited funds overall, this was one way to achieve a broad policy objective that that the governor's office and office, we looked at water quality here in Oregon that is stagnating, if you will, our progress. And so that's a policy area that we decided to emphasize through the Department of Forestry, Department of Ag, and also on Water Resources Department. And so that hopefully kind of gives you a little perspective of why, you know, we've taken the approach that we have.
Mr. Chair, moving on to the Marketing Access Development Program area. Starts on page 21 of 26. You'll see the summary. Package 070 in this program area reduces expenditures to meet expected revenues by making reductions in the seed program. package 420 adds one position to monitor industrial hemp licensees and permit holders and conduct compliance inspections. Rules for the industrial hemp program were completed after the legislature provided a one-time general fund appropriation to pay program startup costs like rulemaking during the February 2014 legislative session. This adds $190,171 of other funds limitation and one position. Package 430, program position modifications. This package establishes four full-time shipping point inspector, two positions, and 27 seasonal part-time permanent positions to address workload needs in the commodity inspection program, which is fully supported by fee-for-service charges. There's no overall expenditure increases because funding for temporary positions is eliminated to pay for these new positions, and that's 31 positions and 10.35 FTE with no change in expenditure limitation. Package 440, wholesale seed dealer fees. This package restores reductions taken in package 070 due to projected revenue shortfalls. The fees were increased administratively during the 13-15 biennium. This package will increase other fund expenditure limitation to allow expenditure of those revenues from the fee increase. The administratively established fees will be ratified in House Bill 5003. Package 801 is page 26 of 26, which is the last recommendation for this program area, LFO analyst adjustment. This package permanently removes general fund support for the plant health program and modifies the program to be entirely fee supported. The package also increases fee revenue for the plant health program from mandatory field inspections related to black leg disease. The department has established a control district in response to the disease outbreak, which requires mandatory inspections. The department estimates other funds revenues from the inspections will be $262,455. So again, this is a revenue-only change. And that is it for the LFO recommendations for House Bill 5002.
We've seen the motion to move the LFO recommendation to House Bill 5002.
Mr. Chair, I move the LFO recommendation to House Bill 5002.
Representative Clem has moved the LFO recommendation to House Bill 5002. Is there any discussion on the motion? Is there any objection to the motion? Seeing none, the motion carries. We'll move on to the key performance measures.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, moving on to key performance measures. LFO is recommending you approve the key performance measures with a change in the target for a KPM number 4, the noxious weed program, to more closely mirror the actual results of the agency.
Motion to move the LFO recommendation to key performance measures.
Mr. Chair, I move the LFO recommendation to key performance measures.
Representative Clemens moved the LFO recommendation on key performance measures. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, motion carries. We'll move on to budget notes.
There's one budget note. As referenced earlier, the Department of Agriculture shall coordinate with the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board to implement an initiative to direct conservation investments for water quality improvements and watershed restoration projects associated with working agricultural lands. To achieve this, the OWEB Board shall include a minimum of $1 million lottery funds in the Board's 15-17 spending plan to work in collaboration with ODA to provide grants to soil water conservation districts, watershed councils, and other local stewardship organizations for technical assistance in projects to restore, repair, and function, improve watershed health, and increase water quality in strategic implementation initiative areas identified by the Department of Agriculture Water Quality Program. ODA staff shall be primarily responsible for supporting this grant program.
All right, and do we have a motion to move the LFO recommendation on the budget note?
Mr. Chair, I move the LFO recommendation on the budget.
Representative Clem moves the LFO recommendation on the budget note. Is there any discussion? All right, I would just note, just one more for Senator Hansel, that I agree in a perfect world, this wouldn't be the ideal way to operate in partnering with OWEB, but I just want to make sure that this is kind of understood, that there is a overall policy objective that we're trying to achieve, and this is one of the ways that we're trying to get there with the limited amount of funds that we do have. So is there any other discussion? Seeing none, is there any objection? Seeing none, the motion carries.
Legislative Fiscal Office recommends a budget of $23,131,196 general fund, $6,313,974 lottery funds, $58,375,366 other funds, $15,564,128 federal funds, and 520 positions, 372.08 FTE, which is reflected in the Dash 1 amendment.
We have a motion to adopt the Dash 1 amendment to House Bill 5002.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 1 amendment to House Bill 5002.
Right, Representative Clem has moved the Dash 1 amendment to House Bill 5002. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing no discussion, is there any objection? Seeing no objection, motion carries. And now we just need a final motion to move House Bill 5002 as amended to the full committee with the due pass recommendation.
Chair, I move House Bill 5002 to the committee with the due pass recommendation, not 5002.
As amended.
As amended. Or 5002. I only move House Bill 5002. Which is it?
Can we get legislative counsel, Risa?
There was once a senator here who demanded to know, which is it, 500,000 or half a million? I need to know now. She was from Albany.
We're not going to name names.
Yeah, and stop driving a Rolls, so.
Yeah, that's true.
So she started driving a Mercedes.
So Representative Clem has moved House Bill 5002, not 5002, as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing that, yes,
I'm going to provide just a little caveat here that I am going to go spend a little time looking for Measure $76, and if I find something, then I may try and make an argument in the change bills at the end for adjustment. I'm just not so sure, but I trust Mr. Siebert. I just want to look a little harder at that general fund. Other programs, and I'm still waiting to see how they fare, like Farm to School. So I'm going to go look around a little bit.
Yes, Senator Hansel.
Mr. Chairman, I'll also add a caveat, is that I want to look a little more in. I know you've got an overall policy, but for clarification, I want to look into a little more, see if we build possible, a little more flexibility for the department so we don't add unintendedly have unintended consequences for other departments that we're also trying to find.
Thank you, Senator Hansel. Is there any further discussion? Right, seeing none, is there any objection to the motion? Seeing none, the motion carries. And then who would like to carry this to the full? Representative Gomberg?
Oh.
Well, at least we're in sync, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
All right.
Oh.
Representative Rayfield will carry to the full end of the floor.
In a closely fought contest.
Indeed, indeed. And then on the Senate side.
I'll be happy to.
Okay, Senator Hansel will take it to the floor. With that, we'll move on to House Bill 5003.
The LFO recommendations for House Bill 5003 are in the same memo for 5002. This bill is a fee ratification measure for fees adopted or adjusted during the 13-15 biennium that were not authorized in the 2013-15 legislatively approved budget for the Department of Agriculture. The Legislative Fiscal Office recommends adopting the Dash 1 amendment to House Bill 5003, which corrects errors in the previous version and includes fees for the industrial hemp program, which were adopted too late in the current biennium to be included in the initial draft of the bill.
All right, and we just need a motion to adopt the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 5003.
Chair, I move the House, or the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 5003.
Representative Clem has moved the Dash 1 amendments to 5003. Is there any discussion on the motion? Is there any objection to the motion? Seeing none, motion carries. And we just need a motion to move House Bill 5003 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 5003 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Clem has moved House Bill 5003 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, is there any objection to the motion? Seeing none, motion carries.
Same carries as the budget bill?
And we'll do the same carries as the budget bill, if that's okay with Senator Hansel.
My colleague wants to get in on the action.
I'm sure there'll be more for me.
Okay.
I think he's just volunteered for OWEB. With that, we'll go ahead and close the work sessions on House Bill 5002 and 5003 and open a work session on Senate Bill 5540 and Senate Bill 5541.
So, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senate Bill 5540 and Senate Bill 5541 are the budget bills for the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. I'll be working through Senate Bill 5540 first and working through the work session report. As is usual, on page one, you'll see an agency-wide summary of the recommended budget. Page two starts the operations program unit. Package 100, program continuity. This package continues a limited duration NRS4 position to work as a Willamette partnership coordinator, supported with federal funds, adds lottery funds to establish a permanent electronic publishing design specialist at step two to improve public information. That was proposed in GRB to be supported with other funds from salmon plate revenues. And it continues a limited duration NRS4 position to work on existing and future strategic investment partnerships. And finally adds $14,000 of lottery funds for office space in Bend and $200,000 of federal funds from PCSRF for personal services contracts. The package total is $821,319, three positions and three FTE. Package 110. This package has four new limited duration positions, including a grant program analyst, NRS2, funded with lottery funds, a conservation outcomes coordinator, NRS4, also funded with lottery funds, a conservation outcomes specialist, NRS3, funded with federal funds, a part-time forest health grant specialist with $33,908 other funds from the Department of Forestry. And the package also eliminates funding for the Independent Multidisciplinary Science Team, or IMST, which is a $237,826 lottery funds and $237,608 federal funds from PCSRF reduction. The package total is $110,874 with four positions and 3.25 FTE. Package number 810, LFO analyst adjustments. This package eliminates a PME position due to agency reorganization changes. Lottery funds saved here are used to move the small grants coordinator position off of other funds from salmon plate revenues and onto lottery funds in package 802. The package also makes a revenue-only adjustment by reducing lottery funds transfer into OWEB by $539,601 with the direction the agencies to spend down fund balances in place of new lottery revenues. So this is a reduction of $310,434 of lottery funds, one position and one FTE. Package 802, salmon plate expenditures. This package removes all the other funds from salmon plate revenues and shifts the small grant coordinator onto lottery funds. All salmon plate other funds is then moved to the grants program area where they be used exclusively for making grants. So this removes all funding of salmon plates out of the operations side of the agency and into the grants making side. The change is $168,298 of lottery funds and a reduction of $271,879 of other funds. And finally, package 803, position reclassifications. This package makes five position changes based on reclassification studies conducted at the agency's request and reviewed by DAS Human Resources. The changes include an accountant 1 to an admin specialist 2, a supervising executive assistant to an executive assistant, an NRS 3 to an NRS 4, and an operations and policy analyst 3 to an operations and policy analyst 4 position. Savings come from a vacant operation policy analyst 3 position being reclassified to an operations policy analyst 4 position at step 1 for a total reduction of $17,628 of lottery funds.
Representative, you had a question.
I did, back on the salmon shift. license plate shift. So I know I heard about this, and I don't remember if it was in budget in my office or on a policy committee or somewhere, but this concept of not having revenues from the salmon plates go into administrative type positions. What did we talk about that here? I know I've been talked to. Right now I'm in a quest for lottery funds. So this is $300,000 right here, for example. And I need to know more about this, these grants, I guess, that will be made in lieu of having the, like, what kind of grants are made from the salmon funds or would be made that are currently paid for the, they pay for the coordinators, all right?
Mr. Chair, Representative Clem, the other funds moving over to the grant program under this proposal could be used for essentially any of the grant making opportunities that OWEB normally has and with their other Measure 76 dollars. So at this point, they're fairly fungible and would be usable for, again, anything in the grant program.
And before, they were paying for this coordinator.
Mr. Chair, Representative Clem, that's correct. Previously, some of the funds were used to support a small grants coordinator position that's then in this budget shifted onto lottery funds. There was a proposal to increase the use of these dollars for other administrative functions that is not going forward.
Back on these lottery funded outcomes coordinators in 110, the NRS 2 is a grant program analyst, a new position, limited duration, lottery funds, a conservation outcomes coordinator, limited duration, maybe. Yeah, all new, these are all new limited duration. Mm-hmm. And then a I think the other ones are coming out of federal funds. But do we know more about these people, the grant program analyst? Or is that the one we were referring to being just taken off of salmon plates?
Mr. Chair, Representative Clem, no, these are two different positions than those. These would be two new positions. Part of the need for, at least I know one of the positions, probably both, comes out of the decision to eliminate the manager position that was kind of also responsible for outcomes coordination. But I'm sure the department has further information.
Andrew Filoscar.
Chair Rayfield, Representative Clem, for the record, Maida Lofsgarden, Director, Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. The NRS2 position that is designated the grant program analyst currently and over the years, so our grants, we get new revenues every year for our grant programs, but the grants can carry out as far as 6 years. So currently we have over 1,100 open grants in our program, and that will continue to increase over the years. The NRS2 grant program analyst is designed to provide us assistance with that ongoing grant program management. We're shifting to electronic systems that will create a shift in some of the work that is currently occurring in the field into analyst needs here in Salem. So that is what that position is designed for, managing that increasing, ever-increasing workload of open grants and our new systems. The outcome-based coordinators are part of the Clean Water Partnership that Mr. Whitman has come and spoken to you about before. So there are a series of positions, two outcome-based conservation positions here at our department. There are also a variety of other positions located in Department of Environmental Quality and the Department of Agriculture positions. And other areas. The goal of this is, as we are making more strategic investments over time, looking at both regulatory and non-regulatory approaches to non-point source water quality, we need to be very accurately monitoring what we are accomplishing in those areas and then taking those lessons learned, moving them across the state. So these two positions are designed to help local watershed councils, conservation districts, and the other agencies to ramp up the monitoring of those investments. So we are, instead of saying, yes, we planted 400 miles of stream, we are saying we planted 400 miles of stream, and here's the result that we're seeing on the ground. And when you go into the neighboring watershed, here are the things that have worked and here are the things that haven't. Those positions are currently designated as limited duration, as is noted, to build up and establish those programs so that we can have more effective monitoring, reporting to the federal regulatory agencies on the accomplishments in Oregon.
Thank you. Any further questions?
Yeah, for a circle.
The is there a direct place to point to for where the lottery fund savings from the elimination of the IMST are then going?
Mr. Chair, Representative Clem, it would fund some of these positions in this package because that's a but without that $237,826 lottery funds reduction, the lottery funds portion of this package would be much larger. So it is, in essence, self-funding one of the positions and part of the other lottery-funded position.
So I can't steal it for my ag thing, probably. I'll keep looking.
And just let the record note that I'm glad that Representative Clem is not on the full Ways and Means. Those meetings would go a lot longer.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, moving on to the grants program area, you'll see a program total here. You'll also move on to package 200, capital construction grants. This package has six-year lottery funds expenditure limitation for grants made from the 65% constitutionally dedicated to such purposes. And again, this will actually be an adjustment to Senate Bill 5541, which provides a six-year limitation. So this number is what you will see being added in the amendment to Senate Bill 5541. And that is $55,552,250, which is the grant program for OWEB for the 15-17 biennium. Moving on to package 210.
But these are capital that can't be taken to be used for the
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, these dollars are prohibited to be expended directly by state or federal agencies. If, for example, a school district were to apply, I'm not sure that they would be under the same constraints.
So you may want to ask your question directly to the director.
I don't think I can't use this money either to go supplant some administrative position over at Ag because it's constitutionally protected.
You can't do that.
Correct.
Okay. Just checking. Okay. What we got next?
Moving on to package 210, carry forward. This adds one-time federal funds carry forward expenditure limitation for Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Fund monies to the tune of $10 million. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services, $2.2 million that were obligated in 13-15 biennium that won't be spent until this next biennium. It also adds one-time other funds limitation for the forest health grants that the agency received in the current biennium, but that will not be expended and needs to be carried forward. Salmon plate grants that were not made in 13-15 or has not been expended and needs to be carried forward. And then some miscellaneous grants authority of $100,000. Total package is $12,900,000 of expenditure limitation, which is all added on a one-time basis. Package 220, this package has other fund expenditure limitation for grants to accommodate funding transferred from the Department of Forestry from that department's federal forest restoration package. Funding originates as non-Measure 76 lottery funds in the ODF budget and is spent by OWEB as other funds. Other funds limitation is added on a one-time basis is to be phased out as part of the 17-19 budget development, and that's $1,260,000 of other funds limitation. That is it for the recommendations for the OWEB budget.
Chair?
Yes.
Oh, 802. Thank you. That's an important one. Package 802 is the salmon plate expenditures. And this, again, is the companion piece that you saw some other packages that shifts all the salmon plate revenues that had been in the operations program where it supported a grant-making position and professional service grants professional services contracts to the grant program to be used exclusively for grant making, and this is a $271,879 other funds package.
Representative Clem.
Chair, I now remember where I heard the salmon play this year.
On a bill that I wrote.
I think it was, it was this Oregonian headline. Oregon license plate money meant for endangered salmon instead funds Salem bureaucrat salary. Yeah. I think that's what I was thinking of. So if we went back to fund some other bureaucrat salary, I might be responsible for that in tomorrow's Oregonian. So y'all just shut up now and we'll just move on.
That sounds good. That sounds good.
Sounds real good.
Chair.
Oh, actually, I would actually don't want you to shut up. I'd like a motion to approve the LFO recommendation.
Mr. Chair, 1 second. Let me just make sure I got. I didn't do the ODF and WPCSRF request either, which is an additional $2.9 million of federal funds limitation. That's pass-through limitation for the Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Fund monies that would go to ODF and W. Again, this is package 215, and it's $2.9 million.
Almost if Mr. Siebert wants to get away from us.
Yeah.
So now at this time, I'd accept the motion to move the LFO recommendation to House Bill 5540.
Mr. Chair, I move the LFO recommendation to House Bill, Senate Bill 5541, and that we rebuke Senator Hansel for his clothing choices today at the University of Oregon.
Senate Bill 5540.
Representative Clem has moved the LFO recommendation to Senate Bill 5540 and has also recommended that we rebuke Senator Hansel for his clothing choices today for representing the University of Oregon. Is there any discussion on that motion?
Just a quick question, Mr. Chairman. On the salmon plate issue, we do have a separate piece of legislation that was assigned to this committee on that topic.
I don't believe it's been directly assigned yet to the sub.
Mr. Chair, Representative Gomberg, that bill has been assigned to the sub. I think we're tentatively scheduled a public hearing for Monday.
All right, thank you.
All right, is there any further discussion? Senator Hansel, would you like to defend your clothing choice?
No. It doesn't need defense.
Okay.
I'll defend it in my vote.
All right. Is there any objection to the motion?
And you don't have a quorum, do you?
All right. I withdraw my review.
All right. Representative Klein has withdrawn his motion. Can we now get another motion to the?
I'll just move Senate Bill, the LFO recommendation on Senate Bill 5540.
Much more acceptable.
One. No, 5540.
In a sour tone of voice, Representative Klein has moved the LFO recommendation to Senate Bill 5540. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing no, is there any objection? We do not have any objection. The motion carries. We'll move on to key performance measures.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending approval of the key performance measures with the understanding the agency will undertake a review of these KPM proposed adjustments if necessary in their 17-19 agency request budget as the agency had proposed during their presentation.
All right, and do we have a motion to move the LFO recommendation on key performance measures?
Chair, I move the LFO recommendation on key performance measures.
Representative Clemens moved the motion. Move the LFO recommendation on key performance measures. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, is there any objection to the motion? Seeing none, motion carries. We'll move to budget notes.
Well, there's one budget note, a companion budget note to what you'd heard earlier. The Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board shall coordinate with the Oregon Department of Agriculture to implement an initiative to direct conservation investments for water quality improvements and watershed restoration projects associated with working agricultural lands. To achieve this, the board shall include a minimum of $1 million lottery funds in the board's 15-17 spending plan to work in collaboration with ODA to provide grants to soil and water conservation districts, watershed councils, and other local stewardship organizations for technical assistance in projects to restore riparian function, improve watershed health, and increase water quality in strategic implementation initiative areas identified by the Department of Agriculture program, water quality program. ODA staff shall be primarily responsible for supporting this grant program.
All right, do we have a motion to move the LFO recommendation on the budget note?
Chair, move the LFO recommendation on the budget.
All right, is there any discussion to the motion? Seeing none, is there any objection to the motion? Seeing none, motion carries.
Moving on to the recommend changes to Senate Bill 5540, Legislative Office recommends a budget of $6,880,873 lottery funds, $3,545,968 other funds, $36,979,454 federal funds, 35 positions, 34, 34.25 FTE, which is reflected in the Dash 1 amendment. I would also note that Senate Bill 5540 is the Measure 76 lottery funds allocation bill for 35% constitutionally dedicated to operations. The Dash 1 amendment also allocates Measure 76 lottery funds to the Oregon State Police, Oregon Department of Agriculture, Department of Environmental Quality, and the Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Okay. We have a motion to adopt the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 5540. Representative Clem has moved to adopt the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 5540. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing no discussion, is there any objection to the motion? Seeing no objection, motion carries. And now we just need a final motion to move Senate Bill 5540 to the full committee as amended with a due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chair, I move what you just said. I believe what it is the Senate Bill 5540 as amended to the full with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Clem has moved Senate Bill 5540 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, is there any objection to the motion? Seeing none, motion carries.
My turn.
Representative Gomberg has graciously accepted to carry it to the full and to the floor and on the Senate side. Senator Dembro will take his turn as promised. Now we'll move on to Senate Bill 5541.
Senate Bill 5541 provides 6-year expenditure limitation for monies from the Watershed Enhancement Grant Fund, which comprises 65% of the non-parks dedicated lottery funds, to allow time for grants to be fully expended. Providing 6-year expenditure limitation avoids large carry-forward amounts being added to this program unit every biennium. Based on the constitutionally mandated split of Measure 76 lottery funds, LFO is recommending a budget of $55,552,250 lottery funds, which is reflected in the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 5541.
All right, do we have a motion to adopt the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 5541?
Chair, I move the Dash 1 amendment.
Representative Clem has moved the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 5541. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, is there any objection to the motion? Seeing none, motion carries. And we have a motion to move Senate Bill 5541 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Chair, move Senate Bill 5541 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Clem has moved Senate Bill 5541 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, is there any objection to the motion? Seeing none, motion carries. Would the same carriers be willing to take this as well?
Sure.
No objection, they will. And with that, we're adjourned 4 minutes early. And we'll see you all Monday.
For a sandwich.
See you all Monday.
For a sandwich.